welcome to this week's episode of Real God for Real People, where we talk about how a real God desires to intervene in our real situations that we struggle with every day, and sometimes how he has placed people in our lives to kind of help us through these situations from a biblical perspective. And so glad to be able to jump back into the pod with you guys this week. And just talking through, hey, man, there's a phrase that I grew up with growing up, which was, hey, you got to trust God, right? And when you're 17, 18, you ain't trying to hear all of that. But as I get a little older, I'm starting to understand a little bit more of what that means, and also understand how God tends to function in our weakness, right? He functions in the places in which only he can move and maneuver and actually bring about what we would call success, but bring about the repentance that's needed in everyone's lives, bring about the biblical success that is desired to see the world reclaimed back into its original glorified state, where we didn't have to struggle with sin, right? We didn't have to struggle with urges. We didn't have to struggle with temptations. But what I'm learning is the more I try to fix something, the more I try to get involved in a space in which maybe he's calling me just to pray, intercede, and just be a listening ear, the more I mess it up, right? And so I'm starting to understand every day a little bit more of what it means to wait and trust God. So I wanted to make a pod about it and just talk through, hey, why do we struggle so much to wait? And so I think right now what I'm learning in my own experience is sometimes, or a lot of times, if we're honest, we struggle to wait because we want to control everything. Like, we don't like, as a species, as a race, as a people, to feel like we're out of control, right? Literally, when life hits us with some type of trauma or circumstance, that's probably the only time frame where we're looking for something else to remove our control, because we can't understand or logicize how this terrible event has happened. And that's why most of the time when people are grieving, you may see some type of substance abuse, like alcohol or drugs, or trying to get a dopamine, let's be honest, high from different things, whether that be distraction with just lifting, or that be distraction with the opposite sex. But what does it look like for our response to be a little different, where if we're going to look for comfort or a distraction or for something else to take control in the midst of our hard times, what does it really look like to trust God? Like, in the past, I would kind of hear, hey, man, we just got to pray about it. And that's cool. That I don't think that's an incorrect answer. But I do think the scriptures even speak to, hey, prayer without works being dead. So I think there's like this tension here of prayer and waiting on God to give us some direction onto what to do in the wait. But I do think the issue, if I'm honest, for me personally, I don't always go to prayer first, right? I am ingrained as a fixer. If I see a problem, I want to fix it. And I think in this season, what I'm learning is every problem isn't mine to fix. Right. Every issue isn't mine to correct, but I can always be a listening ear to people. I can always be a level of counsel, and I try to give as much counsel as I can based on the scripture, because, hey, man, I still got a lot of life to live. But I'm not always charged with fixing the issue. And I think the root of that sometimes is I am trying to depend on my own power rather than God's. Right. I'm trying to be faithful, to help someone in need, but God may be calling me to help them in a different way for the long term. And so a mentor of mine told me a while back, he was like, Shah, you have to take a long view on things, right? There's nothing wrong with jumping in and supporting, but there's something very different about taking time to wait and being sure to hear from God clearly and then acting, right? And so what I thought about is, hey, sometimes it's hard for us to wait or trust in these seasons. If we are honest, we're not really spending time with him. If we're not spending quality time with the Lord to actually have confidence while we're in the wait, right? then of course we're going to have the temptation to get involved, to react, to help. And usually when we do that, sometimes I think the Lord honors our heart, but we don't see it always go well, right? And one of the things I was thinking about, and I'm reading it out of one of the books I'm going through right now, is how healthy am I spiritually to be able to hear God well enough to know when I don't need to get involved? And it's hard, right? When we're all busy, you know, I have two kids. I'm going back to school in about a month, depending on when this pod episode airs, to finish out a program in a year. And man, I'm trying to serve my local church in full-time vocational ministry. But what I'm learning is as my kids get older, I don't have as much time. And I did a pod episode a little while back, just understanding the cost of my yes. But if I'm honest, every yes is a no to something. And I think the only way we can determine whether we're saying yes to the right things and no to the right things is to invite God in. And it was a book talking about having a loving union, meaning a loving relationship with God. And I tell my students all the time, hey, you become what you surround yourself with over time. And if we want to become more like Christ, this fancy word for that is sanctification. We have to spend time with Christ on a regular basis, or that will not happen. We will become some reflection of Christ, but we won't grow in our relationship to become more like him. And understanding who he is, even when things go wrong in other people's lives and our own, if we don't spend time with him. And the example I told to a lot of my students was, hey, if you ever notice you're hanging out with a rough crowd for a long period of time, you don't recognize yourself, or others who have known you for years don't recognize you. And it's because you're becoming what you surround yourself with. You're becoming a different reflection of whom you're called to be. And forgive me, guys, I'm having some issues with this camera today. I mean, not this camera, this mic, so I'm gonna put it on the other side. But when we become more like Christ over time, and we spend time with him in a loving union, it's easier for us to rest in the waiting of life, especially when we feel like we should be further than where we're supposed to be. When we feel like we're not doing things well, we can trust in the fact, man, I'm allowing the Lord to lead me, and he knows a whole lot more about where I'm going than I do. Right. And that's not easy. I think that's a daily thing. I think that's an hourly thing. But I think what it means to be faithful based on the scriptures is we trust and we allow him to lead us. Right. And when we aren't doing that, we're not being faithful, but he is not faithless. And I just appreciate that, because in a world that's always changing, it's hard to just believe and not act. It's almost seen as if we don't act, we don't believe at all. But if we actually do take the time to pray and think long term, we actually are helpful way beyond just the short term actions. It's like if a person is in need and we just give them finances, which is fine. You allow the Lord to lead you in that. That's great for this hour's problem. But hey, they're still going to be hungry tomorrow. Versus it takes a different type of love to see someone struggling and, for instance, invite them into your house for a period of time. Or see them struggling and try to work with them to put in an application to find a job, because they've never really done that before. They don't know how to present their best self. They may not even have the clothes needed for the interview. But if we're moving too quickly and we don't wait and, in a sense, weigh the cost of how the Lord wants us to support those in need, we miss those windows and those opportunities to really be helpful long term. And I think the only way we can do that is, because usually people don't share all that they're going through, is we have to wait long enough to analyze what's actually going on. And one of my books, not my personal books, but one of the books I'm reading right now, it talks about when going through therapy sessions with folks, you want to understand enough of what's actually going on before you try to walk them through how to apply the scriptures to solve the issue of faith or the crisis of faith they're working through. And I didn't think about that until probably a few months ago. Everyone has a preferred story or how they see something being played out. And when that thing does not go according to the plan that they had, they struggle because it's like, yo, well, I thought this through. I thought God was with me and it failed. But when they redefine for themselves what success is, whether they have to do it with God alone or they do it on someone's chair, hopefully someone with some biblical premise, like they can begin to understand where their trauma or anxiety or struggles began. It began with their preferred story, what they thought was going to happen, and then how that didn't go according to plan and it built up some level of anxiety, right? Then possibly leading to some level of trauma. Now, guys, I am not a counseling professional. I am learning every day. I have a lot of friends that help me in a big way to fill in some gaps. But this is a 30,000 feet idea of what happens internally when we fail to trust in God in the wait. When we assume our will is the route that we need to go. And then if we're honest, the conversations that we're having within our heart and our head at that time frame is God really faithful? How could he allow this to happen? How could he not give me the desires of my heart without realizing God may be withholding some good things from us because he realizes we're not going to use it for his kingdom. We're going to use it for ours. And when we do that, when we use it for our own self-interest, even if the things we're purchasing or the things we're acquiring are not evil inherently, the desire is, right? Because it becomes this whole pothole of what can I do to get ahead? It isn't even what can I do to get ahead to support my family long term in some generational wealth standpoint. It is simply what can I do to get ahead? Because we're building our identity and how we can control our environment to get what we want. And we, if we're honest, what's going on in our heart is we think we don't need God. And God allows us to sit in that pocket because we were unwilling to wait. And so what I've been learning is man, when I'm spending time with him on a regular basis, in an intimate way, in the scriptures, in prayer, praying more for others than I am myself, that void that's in every person, but even in believers, of emptiness, of that's filled with like nothing, that I'm trying to fill is filled by his spirit. It's filled by confidence and faith in him. And the weight is easier. It's just not that hard. It becomes, man, I know he knows what he's doing. I'm gonna let him keep driving. Like there were time frames when I was younger, and this is a quick funny story, where so for you guys that know me personally, you know that I've struggled with narcolepsy probably since I was seventh grade. And so when I was younger, I start realizing a little bit of where the origin of that might have come, because my dad, and y'all that know my dad personally get it, we would drive on this paper route that he had. And it'd be late at night, 3-4 o'clock in the morning, and he would be drinking Red Bulls like Kool-Aid. And I'd be like trying to go to sleep because I got to be to school the next morning. But you notice how I made a little extra cash. And knowing this guy is swerving on the road. And so I hear to-do, to-do. And I'm like, oh, shoot, let me wake up. Hey, Bob, you good? You good? You good? You good? Like, yeah, I'm up, I'm up, I'm up. And I'm like, yeah, nah, you're not. You want me to drive? Because by then, I think I was about maybe 15. I might have had a permit. I probably shouldn't have drove, but still safe in the way he was doing. And so, like, there was one night where we were at a stop sign. No, we were at a stoplight. And this guy has gone straight into REM sleep. He is knocked out, snoring, drooling, all that. And the light changed and said, Pop, you good? And he's like, yeah, I'm good. And I'm like, hey, Pop, you sure you don't want me to drive? He's like, no, I got this. I've been driving for 20 years. And I'm not going to tell you guys that we ran into a tree or any of that kind of stuff. We did make it home. But what I realized is that in that moment, I had a choice. I could have really made my dad feel bad, really had it turn into an argument, really had it turn into something it didn't need to be. Or I could choose to rest in the fact that, man, my dad had done this paper out more times than I could count at the time. He's probably learned his body pretty well. And the last thing he would desire to do is let harm come to me. I had to wait. Now, I'm not telling y'all I went into REM sleep. I did not. And just trust that my dad had his hand on the wheel. Now, though that story still is dangerous, still could have turned out any other type of way, we did not incur some type of turbulence or trouble on the route. He ran over quite a few cones, but we made it home safe. And I think the importance of waiting, and that's kind of why I brought up this story, is understanding God plans for us to make it home safe to him and to reign with him in heaven. If we choose to believe in his son and his resurrection and confess with our mouth that belief. But that doesn't mean the waiting is easy. And I think, as I think through it some more, there's a quote in a book that I really have enjoyed talking about. It's by this guy, Craig Rochelle. And the book is called Think Ahead, for anybody who wants to read it. It talked about how he had desired to become a pastor, and he had been told no, and he assumed in the area he was in that it was an easy yes, that this would be simple, that they need him more than he needs them. When he was told no, his preferred story was crushed, and he goes to his lead guy, and this is them, the association telling him no, that they won't ordain him, right? And so he goes to his lead guy. And as he goes to his lead guy, he's sobbing over his lead pastor. He's sobbing over all of this man's deaths as if life is over and he can't believe it. And maybe he's not called to this and all of that good jazz. And his lead pastor allows him to feel, which I think is really important. But then after he allows him to feel, he says something really simple. And he says, hey, you are going to overestimate what you can do in the short run, but you will vastly underestimate what God can do through a lifetime of faithfulness. And so what I loved about this is because this also this shortened down a little bit more of the story that happened later, is that he overestimated his ability to solve the issue or solve the direction he was going. He was told no, and sometimes even God tells us no. But we never understand God's plan, not in its entirety. If we can trust while we're waiting in that period where he says no or even not yet, and then trust that where he's taking us is a better place, not necessarily from a financial standpoint, but just from a purpose-filled standpoint. If we can trust that where he's taking us is a better place, man, we stop overestimating ourselves. Right, we begin to underestimate ourselves, and then we begin to not underestimate God. Right. And so that phrase, hey, you are going to overestimate what you can do in the short run, but you will vastly underestimate what God can do through a lifetime of faithfulness. I'm in a space now where I truthfully, guys, desire to walk in faithfulness and begin to see what God's going to do over a lifetime over that. I think that is what in this season, like for me personally, I'm called to. And that, I believe, for all of us is what makes the wait a little bit easier, is if we can see the long term and begin to simply be faithful where we're at, but also be faithful in everything that we do. See every conversation, every coffee shop moment, every phone call is an opportunity to plant biblical value. Man, it makes the wait less depressing and more exciting because we can see what God's doing through the life of his church, through the life of his people, And then two, we can live a life that never really gets boring. So guys, I hope this podcast is helpful. I hope these episodes are helpful. Really excited about bringing some more people on to talk about a few different subjects. And in this season, man, if you guys want to leave some feedback, you can find us on Preacher Man S on Instagram. We also have a private group, Real God, the number four, Real People on Facebook. Feel free to DM any of those to get added to any of those groups. And then also, if you just want to go to school and leave us a email, our email is realgodforrealpeople@gmail.com. Once again, realgodforrealpeople@gmail.com. But every Tuesday, we're going to throw these out there, and I'm just encouraged by everything that's happening through them. And just ask you guys to leave some feedback and share it out if it's been a blessing to you. And talk to you soon.